Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. We are continuing on in a message I've entitled The Anointing. We've been looking at what the Word of God has to say about the anointing. And more importantly, I've been praying for those who've been listening, and of course for those who write in, that we receive that refreshing, that we receive a new anointing. And it's not a one-time experience. As we read in the Word of God, the priests were initially anointed, but this was an anointing was a continuing thing, and represented by the application of the oil of the olive oil. We use that in our churches today. It's representative of the Holy Spirit. And just like going again with what the scripture tells us, on the day of Pentecost, there were about 120 that were filled with the Holy Spirit. But just a few chapters later in the book of Acts, as they were praying, Peter and John had been confronted by the authorities and told to stop preaching, and they prayed. There was an earthquake. They shook the place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We need that refilling. We need that refreshing. We need that continual anointing because of the battles and the times in which we're living. People have likened the anointing, well, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, isn't that right? But sometimes we get holes and it leaks out, and we need to get refilled. I don't know about you, beloved, but I certainly need to be refilled. And so I've been sharing and doing some teaching on the anointing, and continuing on now, the olive tree was considered to be the most important tree to the ancient Hebrews. It was even called the king of all trees. In Judges, the 8th chapter, there was a parable that Jotham was talking about, and he references he's talking a parable about the various trees, and they come to the olive tree first to make that olive tree be king over them. And he said, should I leave my fatness and my oil? And he was not being willing. So the point is, it was called the king of all trees, if you would, certainly the most important in the Hebrew culture. And that cultivated olive tree could extend to be approximately 20 feet in height and has very twisted trunk with many branches. And the trees grow very slowly. They must be maintained very diligently, and if those trees are, they can grow for centuries, bearing huge crops of oil-rich olive berries. And in fact, when I was in Israel back in 2012, to see those ancient olive trees in the Garden of Gethsemane, they're still there today. The fruit of a wild olive tree is useless, and it's only by grafting into a portion of a cultivated tree, putting that into a wild shrub, that the olive tree can actually bear usable fruit. The olive berries ripen in the early autumn and were gathered in by beating the branches with long poles or shaking the branches at the end of November. And that's when the olive berries were harvested. And after they were harvested, they were gathered together into a small rock cistern where they were crushed with a large upright millstone, which were normally preferred over the use of people's feet, like they used for treading the grapes grape juice and the wine to come from that. And so the crushing of this millstone would release that rich olive oil from the berries, which was then allowed to sit for a while until it had separated itself from the foreign matter. And after the impurities were removed, then that rich oil was then stored in earthen vessels or in rock cisterns. And as we just read a little bit about how they naturally harvested or processed the oil of the olive, we see these facts concerning the olive berry oil and its production contain many spiritual truths that can be applied to the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the life of an individual. For example, one that comes to mind, just as the rich oil of the berries couldn't be utilized, couldn't come forth until after the berries had been crushed by a millstone. Can you relate, beloved? So it is only as an individual's life is crushed by God, if you will, that His holy anointing oil can begin to flow out from it. It takes a perseverance. It takes a willingness to lay down one's life for the Lord, to take up the cross. Those that just want the benefits of salvation and go along in their own way and just content to have the blessings of God and are not really willing to be fruitful for the Lord, well, obviously, they're not going to have God's precious anointing. But someone who has gone through the hard times, someone who has been willing to be persecuted for the cross of Christ, someone who's willing to take rebuke and ridicule from friends, from family. My goodness, beloved, we cannot relate to the persecution that Christian believers are experiencing from family members from the Middle East when they become Christian, and not just in the Middle East, all in the many nations of the world. It is not just a death sentence in some cases, but my goodness, there's also family persecution, the inability to have employment. They're ostracized from society. Families disown them. What a price that they pay. But beloved, it's the willingness to pay that kind of price that the anointing flows from into a person and out of a person. I know, I can remember I heard I got a CD from a radio broadcast ministry that's been around for a long, long time. And they had a brother, a Christian brother, who had been converted from the Muslim religion, and the anointing on that man. I mean, he'd been a terrorist, but to see the very anointing, he had seen face death. He had been on the other side, and to see him, to see as he came to the Lord and how he spoke of the Lord and the sincerity and depth and zealousness of his consecration and commitment to God. Beloved, that's what we need, and that's what's going to take. You want the anointing of God? Beloved, there's a price to pay. There is. And that's just like the olive berry has to be crushed by the millstone. We have to be willing to take up our cross. Jesus said, if you're not willing to do that, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. If you love father, mother, son, daughter, wife, husband more than me, you're not worthy of me. And this is, of course, not that we're to not love our family, but in comparison, there's no greater love than to be willing to obey the Lord and to fulfill His call on our lives. And so we see that in order to have God's anointing, we have to be willing to say yes to the Lord. Now, to go on in the teaching, a few of the uses for the anointing oil, besides just the very presence of God, is a symbol or a representation, if you will, of spiritual tithing. In Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, verse 17, the Lord is giving specific commands. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn or of thy wine or of thy oil or of the firstlings of thy herds or of thy flock, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offering or heave-will offering of thine hand, but thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Of course, he was referencing Jerusalem. And then it's also a symbol of prosperity. Further on in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, verse 13, speaking of Israel, he was saying, he made him ride on the high places of the earth that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Praise God. And also, olive oil was used as financial payment. We see that in the book of 1 Kings, the 5th chapter, verse 11, and this was the building of that first temple. Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food for his household and 20 measures of pure oil, that would be olive oil, thus gave Solomon to Hiram year by year. And of course, we know that one of the uses of anointing oil was its addition to some of Israel's various sacrifices and offerings. So we see that the anointing oil played an important part in offering those sacrifices to God. And now I'd like to move on and share some important, if you will, character qualities or characteristics which the Bible connects with receiving the anointing of the Spirit. Think about that. Not only is the anointing oil representative of the presence of God, that presence and power of the Holy Spirit which destroys the yoke, but it also reflects very important spiritual qualities that we need to have. One of those is expressed in Psalm 23, verse 5, and that is concern. David said, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Another rendering states it this way, "Thou spreadest a table before me in the sight of my enemies. Thou hast richly bathed my head with oil." And so, not only does that show the love and the concern of the Lord, but it also shows the concern and the compassion, God's heart and love that is put into us as we reflect the very character of Christ through the fruit of the Spirit. Well, my time is gone, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast with the Lord's help. We will perhaps bring this to a conclusion. But I thank you for joining me. And again, as always, I invite you to write if you have prayer needs and if the Holy Spirit's moving on you for whatever reason. If you're just feeling prompted to write, just note down that contact information. You can email me or send me a note. You don't have to write much. Send prayer requests. Let me know you're listening. Sometimes I just need encouragement. Also, I love to hear from new folks who are part of my radio family. I love you. Thank you for your prayer support. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,